How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you're back with us on the broadcast this week, and we'll go ahead and pick it up in our study on John chapter 1, verse number 47 is where we left off last time. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Philip is gone and found Nathanael. He knows that Nathanael has been interested in the preaching of John the Baptist. Nathanael is one that's going to become an apostle, and so therefore he is saved. He's been baptized by John the Baptist, and Philip goes and gets him. And there in Bethsaida, where also Peter and Andrew live, Nathanael says, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, Come and see. Come and take a look. Philip brings Nathanael to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 47, he says, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. There's no deception in Nathanael. That's what that word guile means. In verse number 48, Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, paying attention to Nathanael, even before Philip brought him to him. And this really gets a hold of Nathanael. Only Nathanael and the Lord knows what Nathanael was doing there under that fig tree, or what he was thinking or contemplating. I think that what's conveyed here is not only did the Lord see what Nathanael, that he was there under the fig tree and what he was doing, but even the contemplation of his heart, that which was going on within Nathanael, fears or doubts or just wondering or musing about the Word of God, musing about maybe those things that John the Baptist had preached, musing about those things maybe that he had been told by others of his friends. The Lord said that he saw him there. Verse 49, Nathanael really reacts. And so I think it's just more than the Lord seeing Nathanael there under the fig tree, but he speaks to him that the Lord Jesus Christ is connected with Nathanael. And he says there, and Nathanael answered in verse number 49 and saith unto him, Rabbi, that is master, that is teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael makes a very great statement here in that he says, You are the only begotten Son of God. That's the indication. Capital S-O-N. Not a Son of God, but the only begotten Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saves sinners, when he saves us, he not only becomes our Savior, but he becomes our Lord. There's a thinking today that folks can be saved and just go ahead and live life however they want to. And the service of the Lord, understand folks, that the service of the Lord is not about a list of do's and don'ts that somebody puts together for you of themselves or out of the scripture. But salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is a total and complete yielding of the will and of the soul to God. Because of the Lord's love for me, and because of his love for me, I have a love for him. And I desire to serve him and to obey him. I'm instructed in the scriptures to be more like Christ and to be more conformed to the image of the dear Son of God. I'm to be more like him, and I want to be more like him because of the working of the Spirit in my life, not because I'm any great thing, but because Jesus has saved my soul. He's rescued me. I owe him a debt that I can never repay, and I'm not trying to repay it. But I love him, and I want to be close to him because he has saved my soul. I give this analogy in preaching in the jails, and the Lord gave it to me years ago. And maybe this might strike a chord with some of you, maybe some of you that have served in the military or maybe in different work that you might do and that would be very dangerous. But say you're on a boat and you're on this boat out on the open ocean, and from that boat, from that ship, you fall off into the water, and you struggle, and you swim, and you wrestle and you fight to try to stay afloat. You've done all you can do, and you're exhausted, and there's no way that you can keep your head above the water so you can breathe. And you know that the next time you go down, that's it. You're going to drown. You're going to die. You have no hope, no strength, no ability to continue to keep your head above the water, and the next time you go down, that's it. You're giving up. You're done. You're dead. You know you are a dead man. And so you struggle and you fight, and you go ahead and go down. And then at that resignation of death coming soon, and the giving up, the expending of all the power that you have and ability and strength that you have, and you find yourself there under the water just waiting for death to take hold, and then one reaches down from the ship and grabs you by the back of the neck and pulls you out and sets you back on that ship. Folks, that's what salvation is. It's a rescue. It's a visitation by the Lord that He saves the sinner. He saves you. You're out of strength. You have nothing you can do. You go under. You resign yourself to it. And Jesus reaches down and sets you on the solid rock of Himself. He sets you on that ship, if you will. Now, having been rescued that way, when you gave up all hope of there being any way for you to be saved, for you to be pulled out of that water, the Lord Jesus Christ, or this one that has pulled you out and set you back on that ship, are you not going to owe a debt of gratitude to that person? Are you not going to owe your very existence and life to that person? Are you not going to love that person? Are you not going to be interested in the needs of that person that has reached down when you had given up all hope and pulled you out of that water? I tell you what, you're going to love them. They're going to be your best friend. You're going to owe a debt of gratitude to them till your dying day. But yet we have a day in which we live where folks will claim salvation and having been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the living of their life, and the life that they have after this, the claim of salvation comes about, that they go on and they live the same life that they'd always lived before. It's like salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ is just this little thing that you say, that you go ahead and get checked off your list and you go ahead and live your life for yourself. The scripture tells me that whosoever saveth his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses his life for the sake of Christ will save it. That's not talking about a work salvation. That's talking about receiving God, receiving the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ on His terms, His way, through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Nathanael says here in verse number 49, and answered and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He says, you're it. You are the one. I'm following and serving you. Verse number 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Nathanael, because I told you these things, before you even mentioning about them, because of that you believe, thou shalt see greater things than these. Nathanael, you're going to see greater things come about in my ministry. You're going to see the salvation of sinners. You're going to see rejection of the Savior. You're going to see miracles performed that have never been performed before. You're going to see thousands fed from just a little bit of food. And you're going to be there to pick up a basket. And you, in the basket that you're going to pick up, and you're going to end up with more than we started out before the thousands are fed. You're going to see the Son of God die on the cross of Calvary, in shame and being mocked. You're going to despair, wondering that why it is that this one that you had all hope and you put all your entire hope and stake in, that this one that you love so and that you knew was the Messiah, that you knew was the Redeemer and Savior, you're going to see him die on a cruel cross and be buried by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And you're going to wonder, what has happened? what has happened, but you're going to see him raised from the dead. You're going to see greater than this, Nathaniel. Thou shalt see greater things than these. You're going to see the Son of God ascend up into heaven to be with the Father. Nathaniel, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily. Now listen, folks, when you see those words in the scripture, very, verily, verily, the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes would say that once, verily, or sometimes he would say it twice. When you see those words, verily, verily, what that means is it's very, very important. You cannot do without it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathaniel, you're going to see some sights. You're going to see some sights that you've never seen before. If you have believed just because I said I saw you before Philip came, saw you sitting under the fig tree, just wait. Son, you're going to see some great and mighty things. Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory and his power, having come as Savior for sinners? Do you believe that salvation is needful for others, maybe your kin, your friends, others around, but you don't need it? Oh, I pray that you'll see that you need salvation, that you're that sinner that needs saving, that you're that greatest sinner. As the Apostle Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. And you know, we don't need to take that and say, you know what? The Apostle Paul was the chief sinner. That's not the point. What the Apostle Paul was saying was that he was the worst sinner he knew. He's the chief of sinners. You know the worst sinner that I know of? The worst sinner I know of is me, Jim Duke. I'm the worst sinner I know. And you know what? You know the worst sinner that you need to know about? The worst sinner that you need to know and understand is the truth is you. We're the greatest sinner and we need salvation. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can bring it. Through his word, as he worked with these men and he sent his messenger, John the Baptist, to preach, this first fat chapter of the book of John tells about John the Baptist being sent by God to preach a message about the coming Savior, about the Savior that was there very near, that was going to be manifest. That word manifest is talking about being shown forth. We talk about manifest and these big rigs that run down the road. They all have manifest. If you have a ship that carries cargo, there's a manifest. And what the manifest does is it shows what's on board. The Lord Jesus Christ was manifest in the day of his coming, in the day of his ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these men through the preaching of his word and through the moving of his Holy Spirit. He saved their souls. And then in the day of his ministry, he called them to come and follow him. We pray that you'll see that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is what you need for the salvation of your soul. That you are the sinner that needs saving. That really nobody else matters other than you and your soul. Yeah, we desire for other sinners to be saved after we're saved. But before salvation's come to us, what we need to see is that we're the guilty one. We're the chief sinner. And Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He is the one that brings salvation. He is the one that has accomplished the gospel. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, he is the one that can save. Cry out to mercy unto him. Seek his face and seek his salvation. Because as Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2, verse number 9, salvation's of the Lord. Well, see that our time has passed. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.